The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
He is being guided by the voice of the Holy Spirit. He went with them because the Holy Spirit had given him instruction. And when he got there, he was still the same old Peter. He was still the same old Peter. You know, it's unlawful for a Jew like me to come into the house of Gentiles. But the Holy Spirit led him. And when Peter began to preach, Cornelius and his household were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. And God began to show Peter, this is not about you, but it's about me. It's about my plan and purpose. And Peter says, how can we forbid then that these be baptized in water, seeing that they receive the Holy Spirit like we did at the beginning? Because God's no respecter of person. So the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Holy Spirit, is what God used to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Then God also used the Holy Spirit to speak to Philip. Flip over a page to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Now remember, Philip was a deacon. You deacons just say amen. Philip was a deacon, but it didn't stop him from going down to Samaria, preaching the gospel, turning the whole city over to God. There was great joy in that city because of Philip's preaching. A great crusade, a great revival. Many came to Christ, but yet Philip was sensitive enough to know, I just want to do God's will. He didn't stay there to build a monument. He didn't stay there to build some great church. He was sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look at chapter 8, verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip. Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. Now, how many would have a great citywide revival, a number of people, undoubtedly hundreds of people coming to Christ? How many would want to just walk away from that? How many want to walk away from that? You know what preachers would be doing nowadays? They look at it and say, well, that's too much money to walk away from. I rebuke you, Satan, telling me to go to the desert when you know ain't nobody out in the desert. Most of them want a big crowd. But it's always more important to follow the cloud, not the crowd. Always more important to follow the cloud. And this man has had a great revival. People were saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. And God says, okay, time to go. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he rose and went. Somebody shout obedience. Obedience. And many of you say, well, I want to hear the Lord, the voice of the Lord. Well, start being obedient. That's a beginning. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, and sitting in his chariot was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, everybody see that? The Spirit said to Philip, the Spirit, the voice of the Spirit was spoken to Philip. The Spirit said to Philip, go near. These are instructions. and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him. This is the kind of spirit you need. When God tells you to do something, don't just poke around, drag your feet, run to do it. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Now here we see a similar situation. The same way God, by the Holy Spirit, he used the voice of the Spirit to speak to Peter to take the gospel first to the Gentiles. Now he's using the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to Philip and instruct him to go join himself to this chariot where this Ethiopian eunuch was. And he was a man of great authority. He was the treasurer for the queen of Ethiopia. And God wanted the gospel to go to Ethiopia. He wanted the gospel to reach the black man. Glory to God. Huh? And it took Philip hearing the voice of the Spirit. It took Philip being obedient to the instructions of the Spirit for the gospel to come to the black man. And as a result of Philip going, doing what God told him to do, when he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The eunuch did not understand. "How can I understand if there isn't some man to guide me?" So Philip began to guide him. He preached the gospel to him. This eunuch accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior, and they came upon a body of water. And the eunuch said to Philip, "There's nothing to forbid me to being baptized. There's water right here." So they stopped the chariot, and Philip baptized him in the name of the Lord. Huh? Now here we see two classic examples. How God uses the voice of the Holy Spirit to give us direction, to give us guidance, and to give us instructions. I am a living witness. I got testimony after testimony how the Holy Ghost will instruct you, even when you don't know what to do. Come on. The voice of the Spirit will come, and he'll tell you, do this, that, or the other. Is that right? Now, don't get this confused now. There is a big difference between direction and guidance. Now, Jesus told his disciples, when the Holy Spirit has come, he will guide us into all truth. How can you be guided when you're afraid to move in the direction God has given you? Think about your automobiles right now. You cannot guide an automobile unless the wheels are moving. Somebody ought to say amen. And if you're seated on the seat of do nothing, come on, and you're still waiting on God, not understanding that God's waiting on you, and you are not being sensitive to the direction God has given you, you got to walk by faith and not by sight. And as you take that first step in faith, he will begin to guide you in the direction he's given you. And on that road, when he's guiding you, he'll say, "Turn here, turn there." He'll say, "Speed up, slow down." This is all part of being guided. Then he'll begin to give you instructions. Come on. He will instruct you what to say, what to do, when to say it, and when to do it. Can you say amen? This is the voice of the Holy Spirit. This is why I say it's more authoritative than that inward witness, than that inward voice, which is our conscience. But this voice comes to us to give us direction, guidance, and instructions. Is that right? Now, going back to our text in closing. John 16, verse 13. This cannot be plainer. This cannot be simpler. Jesus is saying to his disciples, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come. And how many know he's come? How many knows he's here? He was poured out on the earth on the day of Pentecost. And he's been here ever since. And he'll be in the earth until Jesus raptures us out of this earth. Come on. When he has come, Jesus said he will guide. He will guide. He will guide. I don't know about you, but I need guidance. You can't get from here to Chicago without guidance. You need guidance. Most of you would late model automobiles, you know what you do. When you're going someplace you've never been, you know where you want to go. You know the direction you want to go. You depend on that GPS system in your automobile to guide you the right way. And many times when that GPS system is guiding you, you be going down routes and roads that you had never been before. You know, three or four years ago, Joyce and I, we were going up to Virginia, some little town in Virginia. You know, Paul Garleton and some of his people were there, and they were having a little treat. And so Paul wanted us to come up and spend the day with him. And so I punched in the address in my GPS. And this place was so far out, my GPS got to the place and said, there's no information available. No information available. Come on, Siri. But your spiritual GPS will never tell you there's no information available. God won't give you direction. He won't give you a vision that you can't achieve. Because the truth is, if God gives you the vision, he gives you direction in the mind of God, you're already there. You're already there. But there's a process. Peter had to go through his process. And God knew exactly what it would take for Peter to challenge Peter on his own racism, his own commitment to his legalistic religion and his prejudice. God knew what it would take for Peter. And God knows what it would take for you and for me. Huh? Is that right? But here's the thing in closing. When the vision is God-given, when the direction is God-given, it will never be changed. It will never be changed. No. God ain't confused. You're the one confused. Some folks says, God told me to do this. And then you talk to them a month later, and they're doing something diametrically opposed to what they said a month previously. God does not change his mind. Let me say it again. God is not confused. He doesn't change his mind. And we often change our minds because we get discouraged with the guidance. We have our minds made up about the steps we should take, the way we should go, but the Spirit may be saying, I want you to go over this way a little bit. And you thought you're just going to go directly to it. But the Spirit says, you have to undergo a process. There's some stuff God wants to work in you and work out of you. And it takes a process to do that. Is that right? The vision, the direction will never change. But the instructions, the guidance and the instructions may change from season to season. But you're still headed toward the fulfillment of the same vision. I know that's true in my life. In 1994, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, go to Raleigh. I was living in Atlanta, Georgia. This is in 1994. But also in 1994, I got called to pastor a church in Minneapolis. So I went to Minneapolis. And I pastored this church. And when my tenure at this church was up, then I became, in Minneapolis, the director of the National Center for Fathering. Then I jumped ship for more money, a whole lot of money. And I became a vice president in the largest human resource consulting firm in the world. Huh? Then they sent me to Cincinnati, Ohio. And I went there 4 months and they promoted me to be senior vice president over the Cleveland office. But God hadn't changed his mind about Raleigh. And there in Minneapolis, in this consulting firm, during the same time, I heard the Spirit of the Lord. I heard His voice says, go to North Carolina. That's all I heard. Go to North Carolina. That's all I heard. And so what did we do? Joyce and I, we came to North Carolina. In fact, we came to Charlotte. We flew to Charlotte, and we took a week. We were looking at houses that we wanted to buy because we thought we were going to be in Charlotte. But see, God's forgotten us. Then I get a call. I'm sorry, I called a young man who used to be in my church, a grad student when I was at Pastor in Ohio. And he's pastoring some church in a town called Mebane. Oh, Pastor Jerry, it'd be good if we could see you and Joyce before y'all go back. So on Friday that week, we drove up to Mebane. He said, ain't far, it's in the middle of the state. It won't take you long to get here. So we went to Mebane, a really little town. Little town where everybody know everybody's business. In fact, we couldn't find his house, so we flagged the sheriff down, and he told us exactly where he lived. That's how small the town was. So we fell in love with this little town because all we know, God said, go to North Carolina, and this is in North Carolina. We're walking by faith. So we committed to stay and help him in that town. In fact, we bought a brand new house in Mebane. And we committed to work in that church for 1 year. I said, I'll be here for 1 year. God is my judge. 1 year to the date, that's when I got the call to come to Raleigh. But God has spoke to me, and that's in 1997 now, but God has spoke to me by the Spirit of God in 1994 about Raleigh. And I would have open visions about how I would be here in Raleigh. I had never been. But what it took was this. When I was at the consulting firm, I received an invitation to come and participate in a men's weekend in Mebane, North Carolina. They flew me into Greensboro, and we did a weekend retreat there in Mebane, North Carolina. And God was inching us closer and closer. But see, the vision hadn't changed. It was always Raleigh. Hadn't changed. And that's where we miss out on God. And that's when we get confused and say, well, God said something else. No, he didn't say something else. Now, all you got to do is look at how God led Israel out of Egypt to the promised land. It was 11 days journey, but it took them 40 years to get there. Come on. And even when it seems like you're going around in circles, if it seems like you're going around in a circle, it isn't that God's confused. It's God's deal. He's still working on you. There's some stuff you got to unload. Just because you came out of Egypt doesn't mean Egypt's out of you. And if it takes 40 years to get Egypt out of you, you're going to be seeming like you're walking in circles. Haven't we passed this mountain before? Haven't we passed this hill before? But you're still headed to the promised land. That was the vision. That was the vision. It never changed. But it took them 40 years to get there. Don't get impatient. Don't give up. Don't give out. Don't give in. Stay the course. And listen, be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. The vision has not changed. The direction is still the same. But if you have to make a right turn here, a left turn there, if you have to speed up, slow down. You might say it's taking too long. But God looks at you and say, you're right on time. Look at somebody and tell them you're right on time. Glory to God. This is the way the Holy Spirit works. And I didn't understand that as a boy, but I heard it. I grew up in that culture. The Spirit showed me. The Spirit said to me. Glory to God. And I knew that the Spirit had a voice even before I understood everything or as much as I needed to understand about the Spirit. I am telling you, beloved, the Spirit of God has a voice. And every one of you, you have the Spirit of God in you, and you need to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. What is the direction God has given you? And if He gives you the direction, allow Him to guide you. And you can't be guided until you start moving. This is one of the reasons when people join the church, and they say, well, they start scratching their head and say, well, I don't know where God wants me working the church. Just work somewhere. Because you'll know that that's the place or it isn't. And if it isn't, you're being guided somewhere else. But as long as you sit down in the seat and do nothing, God doesn't get any glory and you don't go nowhere. Huh? But through it all, God is guiding you. And when he guides you, he gives you instructions. Just like he gave Philip instruction. He says, now go join. You see that man over there in that chariot? Go join yourself to that man and overtake the chariot. And Philip didn't dither. He didn't drag his heels. He ran to the chariot. And he asked the eunuch, do you understand what you read? By the way, that's a good line for those of you to do outreach. Just ask him. People say, well, I read the Bible. Do you understand what you ask him? Do you understand what you read? Do you understand what you read? Just give me a moment and let me break it down about what Jesus Christ did for you on the cross. Glory to God. Glory to God. So I want to be led by the Spirit of God. I want that to be my lifestyle. Come on. This is not something that happened every now and then. As I said, I heard it all the time growing up as a young boy. The Spirit told me. The Spirit showed me. My father and Prophet Pig, I can hear him now. Talking about what the Spirit told them and what the Spirit showed them. Glory to God. This should be commonplace in our lives. Parents, you need to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit about your children. And it's sad that so many people don't even know what's going on in their children. I just read on the internet the other day that this lady was a newscaster and she was doing specials on trying to fight the opiate crisis in this country. Not realizing that her own daughter was messing around with that stuff and her daughter OD'd. And she was taken aback, just shock, outraged that it could happen to her the way she had been fighting against it. And oftentimes we're looking on the outside when we ought to be looking on the inside. We ought to be looking on the inside. If you are sensitive to the voice of the Spirit, you will hear him speak to you about that which concerns you, because God promised, I will perfect that which concerns you. And I'm telling you, God will come to you in a dream, if it takes a dream, if it takes a spiritual vision, an open vision, and for some of us, it may take a trance. Took a trance from Peter. Nowhere in the world. Peter, with his senses intact, were ever going to darken the roof or darken the door of a Gentile. He was just that dedicated of a Jew. Under Jewish law, you didn't go into the house of a Gentile. You didn't eat with Gentiles. And you mean you want me to go do that? This could not be God. I rebuke you, Satan. So God had to put him in a trance to get him to do what God called him to do. Glory to God. I really don't want to be put in a trance. You know, it's sort of scary to me to think that, all my physical senses are not intact. I don't want them suspended. Huh? I guess that's a part of all of us. I'm speaking for myself. We feel like we want to have some kind of control or some sense of control. But God will sometimes put you in a position where you have absolutely no control. No control. We're having a prophetic workshop this week, Saturday. When God began to deal with me about prophecy, I was always afraid to prophesy. You see, I was a young Baptist minister coming out of a very traditional environment into an ultra-Pentecostal environment. And I never felt like I was as good as the rest of them. I thought they had a head start on me with the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's just the way I was thinking back then. It took me a while to get the Holy Ghost because I had my mind made up about how I should have. First, I had to decide, was it for me? Did it go away with the apostles? I went through all that. Then when it decided for me, then I had to get my mind out the way so that God could have his way. Then when I finally got filled with the Holy Ghost and began to understand the manifestations of the Holy Ghost and all the gifts of God, then I wanted to prophesy. I felt like God had put prophecy in me. And then I read that we all can prophesy. And God would move upon me in the worship services, and you can feel the anointing, and I was always afraid to prophesy. It was the will of the Lord for me to prophesy, and I never forget. I told the Lord, Lord, if you just move upon me one more time, just give me a chance, I will prophesy. Not knowing what I really meant. The Spirit of God moved upon me, and all I know is when I finished prophesying, I was back leaning on the walls of the church. So I had to be totally suspended to fulfill the will of God. And I'm telling you, whatever it takes, that's where God will meet you. You ain't got to worry about it. See, when the Spirit of truth has come, He's the Spirit of truth. You can trust Him. He'll never lie to you. He'll never lead you the wrong way. But when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. And you can trust Him. He doesn't have a personal agenda. He will not speak of Himself. He will not speak on His own authority. But whatsoever He hears, He only speaks what He hears. You can always trust His voice. Some of you have had this experience. The Spirit of the Lord come to you and you hear His voice and say, so-and-so going to call you today. Or going to come by today. And they call or come by. And then you're able to say, the Spirit showed me. The Spirit showed me. The Spirit told me you were going to come by. Glory to God. We want to be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. We need to be sensitive to that inward witness, that inward voice. And most of all, we need to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit Himself. That is the Father speaking through Jesus, and Jesus through His Spirit speaking to us to give us direction, guidance, and instructions. If you agree with that, say amen.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. We hope you'll join us Sunday for a live worship service at 1430 South New Hope Road in Southeast Raleigh. www.agapeword.net. That's 10 a.m. Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship.
Hi, I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.